Okay, hello and welcome to the second annual Shenan's, our ridiculous award show where we talk about the undisputed best and worst games of the year. I'm your host, Mike Apps, a.k.a. Wheels, and let's go the usual order, naming everyone else.
Do we have a usual order? I'll be the usual order.
Oh, I mean like
Q&A. And I'm going to be disputing at least half of these awards just to tell Wheels to fuck off.
Oh, God.
And sorry, slightly echoey in Japan. Your manager, Michael Baker, Gaiji Minogatari.
There is just an echo coming from the nation of Japan.
Yes.
We live with that.
It is the reverb of Gojira's footfalls. So.
And this is your pal Joe, also Smokin' Joe Gamer from RP Gamer and his own stuff and Blue Sky. And yeah, I added a bunch of joke categories and we're going to have some fun.
I don't think any of these categories would qualify as serious.
Except, well, there. I mean, we have a few that are serious, like Game of the Year.
Yeah, that's at least mildly serious, yes. But we're also fucking around.
I was going to say, is the answer serious? No.
Yes, actually. Maybe.
Depends on who you mostly ask.
And the
last, but apparently Wheels has forgotten the least, I am the Mighty Tam, the sometimes drop-in host or co-host.
Oh wait, where's Platy?
I wish you could drop in more often. Nope. We have not had Platy on one of these. I guess we'll have to fix that next year.
Okay, I'm penciling that in.
No, but I thought he voted in the spreadsheet.
No, Eric did. We'll discuss, yeah, Eric's answers.
Okay.
It will be brought up.
Yes. But our first award is the Metroid Dread Award for Excellence in the category of the Metroidvania genre.
All of these are named like the first annual Montgomery Burns Award for Excellence, for Outstanding Achievements in the Field of Excellence. Everyone should just be aware of that.
Yes, it's true.
And also,
basically, they're all just participation awards.
No, some of them are not.
But also, in Rod we trust.
Yes. All hail Rod. But this is an award that in most award shows we just give to Silksong, and although that's a game I beat one third of and actually like quite a lot, I think people need to calm the fuck down a little bit.
That's going to come up again.
Yes. Yes, it's going to come up again, but it's oddly, my anger has swayed to a different game. Partially thanks to you.
I'm just getting madder every time, but it'll be fine. It's fine. It's mostly a 6 out of 10.
But thanks to indie games, which sometimes I appreciate, sometimes I'm very deeply annoyed at, and sometimes I'm just meh about. This is a genre that is anything but dead these days, and actually, some bigger publishers have been putting some money into some very interesting games. And thankfully, Nintendo gave us another 3D one in Metroid Prime 4 finally this year.
Is it one of those ones every 10 years?
Yeah.
Yep.
Some other notable standouts include Shadow Labyrinth, which is Namco's weirdo thing.
Oh, the Pac-Man Metroidvania, right?
Yes. It's deeply weird and awesome.
Metroidvania?
Is it, like, worthy of winning this award? I don't know, or really care, because it's kind of
we're just taking the excuse to reference it.
Yes, and obviously Silksong came out this year, but that's not going to win.
Not from us.
No, but I'll
he gets enough stuff this year. We can. Yes. Nice.
What else came out? Gal Guardians, Servants of the Dark, Chronicles of the Wolf, aka Storebrand Castlevania.
Faith Adventure Cobra, The Awakening.
Yes, which I don't think is actually a Metroidvania. Some of these,
I don't know who put this here.
I just did a search for like what Metroidvanias came out in the last year.
And you didn't even vet them hard enough to determine if all of them were real.
No. Like Shinobi Art of Vengeance, is that a Metroidvania?
It has Metroidvania in it.
Yeah. Blade Chimera, I know that one is.
I voted for Shinobi Art of Vengeance because it was the most fun thing on this list that I've played.
Yeah, I have not played that yet, but...
It's really, really fucking good.
I mean, I'll admit, I actually didn't play anything on this list. I gave a very tame answer.
Of course you did. Gal Guardians. Yes. I mean, you can't go wrong with indie creates, because I feel like even their mediocre games are at least pretty.
They have a hard time. They have a hard time doing bad things.
Yeah. Did we miss... Is there any Metroidvanias that you played that came out this year, Tam, that we've missed?
No.
No.
Because I don't...
I'm sure we all missed some.
I'm sure there's ones we're missing. I don't really play Metroidvanias.
Okay.
I mean, I... Because it falls into the same issue of why I don't join you guys for the fighting games is... You know, as I play them and I get stressful, I start to grip the controllers harder, which makes my knuckles really hurt.
Yeah, I get that.
Oh,
I play this genre a lot. I don't necessarily finish a lot of them. I haven't technically finished Shadow Labyrinth yet, but I mean, I have to give it to Metroid Prime 4, if for no other reason than I would like more full 3D Metroidvanias, but that's a lot harder to do, so I understand why.
Yeah, it's kind of a dead letter, but it's nice when they happen.
Yeah. But
I've heard people saying,
I'm just trying to remember which ones I played this year.
Even really a Metroidvania.
Those people are wrong.
It's a Metroidvania.
Yeah.
It's no less Metroidvania than, say, Metroid Fusion.
Yeah.
It is literally a Metroid game.
Just because it's Metroid does not necessarily mean.
I understand, but it is.
Like I said, it is no less a Metroidvania than Fusion.
Yeah.
And like it's a relatively linear example of the type, but it is still definitely one.
Yeah. And I think I'm fine, honestly fine with it being more linear than some, because I think people forget that this is a series or a subseries, whatever you want to call it, that's been gone for like
18 years.
This is going to be many people's
August 2007. Yeah. To December of 2025.
This is going to be a lot of people's first Metroid Prime game. This is something I'm beginning
to
appreciate
more. In some cases, probably a lot of people's first Metroid game, period.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, this is something Pokemon in recent years had finally made me understand. Like, it's not just about me and people that are hardcore gamers. Like, this is going to be someone's first Metroid Prime, and since the series has been gone so long, they need to make something a little more accessible, which I think this is, and I think it does so without really sacrificing anything that makes, like, Metroid Metroid. They did a very good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's definitely, it's a respectable winner. I do want to briefly bring up Art of Vengeance, which, as mentioned, is not a full Metroidvania, but there are things to be found in levels that you can't get until you get to a later level that gives you a permanent, like, movement upgrade. So I'd say it's Metroidvania enough to count. And okay. I want to briefly bring it up because it's absolutely gorgeous. It's I want to say Lizard Cube made this.
Yes.
And they previously had done Streets of Rage 4.
Did they also do Dragon Trap, the remake?
Yes, I believe they were the Dragon's Trap remake developer. Basically, if you play a revival of an old Sega franchise that's like 2D and holy shit good, Lizard Cube was involved.
Okay.
Like... because, yeah, there's that. They did Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, they did Streets of Rage 4, they did Shinobi Art of Vengeance. All of them are absolutely gorgeous. and absolutely worth your time. So just want to give that a shout out, even though MP4 is a perfectly is a very worthy winner as well.
And also, I voted for Metroid Prime 4, and I'm playing it right now, and I'm almost done. I wanted to get all the items, all the scans, and gotta collect more green energy.
I will bring up one other thing about Art of Vengeance, which is the if you liked Sonic Mania soundtrack, it is the same composer.
Oh, that's cool.
Felix has been doing real well for himself over the past about 10 years between between Sonic Mania and Streets of Rage 4, Shredder's Revenge, a lot of good stuff there. The two composers on this, a real old and new dream team of T-Lopes and Yuzo Koshiro.
Oh, we should bring up Eric RPGs, who's not here. His vote was Blade Chimera. I have not played, but yes. It's from...
I've seen plenty of it. It's quite good. I want to say it's from the... Is that the Ladybug? Yes. Was that Ladybug?
Yes. So the developers Team Ladybug. Of Touhou Luna Knights and...
Yeah, Touhou Luna Knights and... and Deedlit and Wonder Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Okay. Those are all good games, yeah.
A lot of the indie space loves Metroidvanias and keeps the 2D ones existent by dint of the fact that Super Metroid is Nintendo published game on the Super Nintendo can be relatively not the biggest thing in the world. Super Metroid is a Velvet Underground album in the sense that the old joke was that only 100 people bought Velvet Underground albums, but all of them started bands.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember back you said that on Q&A Quest.
Yep, yeah. I bring it up a lot because it is always accurate.
There's actually a documentary about the Velvet Underground on Apple TV Plus that I'm watching. And
someone has Apple TV Plus.
Yeah. Well, and it's about what you'd expect. Just, you know, they can't just tell you a basic story. That wouldn't be right. So, of course, there's all this avant-garde camera stuff going on. And
this is Velvet Underground.
It's what you'd expect if you're familiar with the band, yes.
And you have to listen to a bunch of songs from the Squeeze album.
But yeah, Apple TV is bizarre because they have like 5 shows and they're all like the best shows ever.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
But I've also never heard of anyone who pays for it intentionally other than to watch Ted Lasso.
That's a good reason. Shrinking is also amazing.
This is not an argument against any of their other shows. It is merely an argument that I've never heard of anyone having it intentionally.
Well, I have it intentionally because they offered me a good deal, and Apple at this point is just if I try to get a free trial of anything, they're like, "Nope, you're done."
Bad.
We recognize your email. You have used it too much.
Yeah.
What if I put on my same email but with a mustache?
Oh, have like it at that. Like iCloud.com.
Who could it be?
Hello, my name is Mr. Schnrub.
Schnrub.
I like the way Schnrub thinks.
Okay, we're moving on to the next category.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of our many complaint categories. I voted for Gal Guardians, but that's only because, well, jiggle physics.
It's fine, and yes, your vote is definitely...
Your vote was counted, it just didn't matter. It just did not matter.
But it did not matter, no.
Because, yes, special shout-out to Inti Creates, because Inti Creates.
Yeah.
But the next, I really should have renamed this award before we started it, and I'm going to right now because I made this award before the game awards, where a certain thing won everything, and it was kind of annoying. This is the Claire Obscura Award for Most Overhyped Game of the Year. Previously known as the Silk Song Award for Most Overhyped Game of the Year.
Now, see, that I think still should stand.
An argument for it, because we're not arguing either of these games is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think Claire Obscura is overhyped.
I do. It's this is an FF10 fan game, but
I mean, I sat and streamed it. I enjoyed the shit out of it.
And that's great.
I've found it profoundly mediocre.
But part of this is just the strength of the fan base voice.
The fan base voice, and also we're just snotty little assholes. But
Especially a part of the fan base that has obviously never played anything else like it before and does not realize which parts come from other things.
Which is all the parts.
Yes.
Oddly enough, the guy who created Claire Obscura...
Like, he knows what he did.
No, actually, he didn't even know Legend of Dragoon was a thing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, but he's like absent. But this game owes a debt of honor to FF10. Like...
Yes.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And also Legend of Dragoon.
Like, I would say they arrived at Legend of Dragoon from the perspective of, you know what's cool? Dark Souls.
I think they may have also played
Shadowhearts at some point.
Yes. Don't let me forget the Dark Souls aspect when I talk about Silk Song for a little bit, even though that's not my vote. Okay. Yes.
I know. But yeah, no, it's like as any overhyped award should be aware, it's fine. None of the games that we're going to bring up in this category are bad. They're just like one of the kinds of things where you start playing it and it's like, yeah, this is pretty okay. I don't know why everyone lost their mind over it.
Yeah.
I personally have... Yeah, I've talked enough about Claire Obscura in Q&A Quest, so I will leave it at... Yeah, I feel like I can point out where every single one of those things' influences came from. I've found the plot to be mostly kind of generic, and I don't think people can tell the difference between good voice acting and British accents. Okay, I'm going to use the restroom. You people fight among yourselves. Yeah. I don't think he's a bad performer, but I think that it's a mostly in line with what I expect from an RPG performance, partly because I think some of the direction is pretty mediocre.
Well, I mean, I kind of fell off it, not just partially because, hey, the Switch 2 came out, but partially just, I don't know. I don't think it's mechanics or exploration or anything really flows that great together for me.
Oh, the exploration is the worst part. Like, the game desperately needs a map, but if it did that, it would become very clear how much it's recycling environments and assets, so that's probably part of why they never patched one in.
Yeah, you mentioned that before, too. Okay, I'm kind of curious, though, how does the title Claire Obscura play into the story itself? Because I was just thinking about it, and that, like, that's the...
About as much as Final Fantasy does.
That's the French version of the Italian chiaroscuro, which means like geometric black and white art style.
Yeah, everything in the game is all painting based. Like, everyone's talking about paintings. The mascot characters
Is Claire the paintress?
No.
Oh
no, okay. That's not a character's name.
Dang, that would have made sense.
Like I said, it's like the French version of chiaroscuro, which means everything's black and white somehow.
There's actually an enemy in the game called Claire Obscura.
Oh, okay.
So, am I the only one who's beaten it?
I think so.
Yeah, because
I don't have anything to play it on.
I played for two hours.
To what you guys are saying.
I didn't like the combat, but I liked the story, but I didn't like the combat, so I only played a few hours. That's all. At some point, I'm going to go on YouTube, and I'm just going to watch like all the cutscenes.
Is there an easy mode in it, Tim?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to turn... When I go back to it, I'm just going to turn that on and play it.
Yeah. If I ever try it again, I'll just drop it to easy. It's like, who cares?
Yeah, it's Story mode.
For the record, I'm like 8 to 10 hours in.
Okay.
Far enough to know that I think I've kind of got the lay of the land. But
the major plot twist happens right before Act 2 starts.
Yeah, I know. And I won't speak of it because...
And there is another major plot twist right before the end of the game.
Oh. Yeah, I think I know what it is because the game is not subtle.
Yeah. It telegraphs you, Dean.
You're thinking with portals when you start talking about chiaroscuro. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I did not like the dodging and parrying in this game.
No, you will still have to do that in story mode, or what, you know what is, but the timing is a little more forgiving.
That's good.
Yeah, like I.
Yeah. For me,
I don't mind those kinds of mechanics, but I feel like, you know, you're riffing from like Mario and Luigi, and I feel like those games. Yeah, it's helpful when you can dodge, but it's not like as punishing as it felt in Clair Obscur.
Yeah, to hit this from two different directions, I'll say that, like, it's weird that the game that a lot of people are hailing as the savior of turn-based RPGs doesn't think that a pure turn-based experience is interesting enough. But the other thing I'll say is that it's a super centralizing mechanic. Like, a lot of times what I'll end up doing is I'll get to a boss and I'll get hit two or three times while I figure out the parry timing, and then like I'll die and then I'll finish the boss in like four turns because the parries just absolutely brutalize it if you actually succeed at them.
Especially depending on the accessories you have equipped.
Yeah, you can do a parry build. You can kind of do like you can do non-parry builds, but like but that means being in combat longer and I don't care. So I just parry everything and it's
some of the bosses and monsters they aren't even timing-based. You can tell their timing from a sound.
Yeah, there's a lot of sound cues, so definitely play with the sound on. The soundtrack is more varied than I was fearful of at first, but there's still a lot of, like, here's a mournful piano. So, but yeah, ultimately, like, what I've felt while dealing with the combat is, like, everyone has, like, a really gimmicky thing that they have to do in combat, and I just ignore all of it because, like, I don't want to keep track of which of how many what's the stupid word they had for it of how many foretell and sun and moon twilight cards that Skiel has. Don't love it. Oh god. But yeah, so that's enough of me complaining about Clair Obscur. We're gonna get plenty more of that on YouTube.
My son just came in.
Exciting
because he just beat Hollow Knight.
Good job.
So that's one game down on the list I'm giving him, so he can play Grand Theft Auto.
This still makes you sound like an insane person.
But he wants to play Silk Song, despite all my warnings, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, he's going to beat it before you do, and it's going to be really funny.
Oh, yeah.
Let me talk about Silk Song for a minute, because I think I'm the only one who played any amount of it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the case?
Yeah, I haven't bought it yet. I'm waiting for it to go on sale.
Yeah, I'll never play it.
On a good sale.
Yeah, it's okay,
Charlie. I might eventually.
As we briefly talked about before, I bounced off Hollow Knight originally. Like, I thought it was very pretty, but the mechanics were kind of dull. So when I started playing Silk Song, I got the opposite impression because you get the movement abilities a lot quicker than you do in Hollow Knight, as I have found out, because I have now beaten Hollow Knight. And then things kind of get really frustrating. I really like Hollow Knight now. I would say I love it, despite some issues with both the games have, which really revolve around wanting to be like Dark Souls, but not really kind of using those mechanics for not a good reason. Like, both of the games use the mechanic where, okay, you die, and then you have to get back to where you died to get your, like, your money. Which is, in these games, where you very rarely use your money, just feels stupid and frustrating. Like, in Dark Souls, there's always something, if you have a giant stash of money you're worried about losing, most likely you're going to use it to level up, or use it for something. Not to mention, you also probably have a stash of items that will turn into your souls, which you can then use for money. Like, it's not as punishing as people make it out to be. Whereas in this game, it just, like, there's no point. Like, and it's often used for very vital things, like, oh, I just lost all my money, and now I found the map maker for an area, so I can finally get the map for an area, which is another mechanic both the games have that really frustrate me. I found it a lot less annoying in Hollow Knight because the game in general is not as hard. And now let me talk about Silksong for a second. Again, it's a very beautiful game. It can be very fun, but it can also be insanely frustrating. I guess because this game was basically made for people that love the most annoying and punishing parts of Hollow Knight, which is not me, but
yeah, I was thinking this sounds like a bit of by fans for fans syndrome with games
to some extent. Yeah, hold on. Yes, I'm on stream. You want to say hi? I beat Hollow Knight. I told them
congratulations.
Wait, it's either $20 or it's on Game Pass Ultimate.
Okay, I will get it for you. Actually, you can just, when you go to buy something, does it come up with my PayPal as an option? If it does, just buy it. But yeah, it's a game not for the faint of heart at all. But I don't hate it. But again, this is being praised as one of the best games of the year, and I think to earn that, it can't be a game like this. Like, this is just...
I'm confused. What game is he talking about now?
Silksong.
Still talking about Silksong, okay. Sorry.
Yeah. So, you mean that it's a good game, but it's definitely a game for the people who really like the kind of game, and not for people who are necessarily new to the style of game.
Yes, that, and even if you are the person that kind of that likes this thing, it still feels like overly punishing. Like, every boss I fought in the game does 2 points, takes away 2 of your hearts with any of their hits, which is something that happens sometimes in Hollow Knight, like, you know, some of the harder bosses. So, you know, it's okay, that makes sense, but In Silksong, it's every boss. It's almost like, why? Then, what is the point? What is the point of this heart system? Why not just make it everything does 1 heart of damage, and like, so this makes sense? And instead, it just does. I don't know. And yet, it's a game I still go back to play. Because it's pretty and very neat. So,
yeah.
This was my vote, but I have changed my vote to Clair Obscur because, yeah, that is. It's a game.
I'm just that charismatic.
A game I would like to go back to less. And I mean, Silksong, I beat Act 1, which is about 10 hours. If I just stopped there, I would say it would be an extremely good Metroidvania. And I guess there's a third act if you do some crazy things, so...
This is Metroidvania tradition.
Yeah. But yeah, that's that. We can move on to the next award. Well, I keep rambling.
Well, all I was going to say is that I think that some developers learned the wrong lessons from Dark Souls.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, they focus so much on the difficulty, and it's like Dark Souls works because it's an RPG. If you're struggling, you can just level grind your way out of it. You get more stat points, you upgrade your weapons and armor. There's so many, it facilitates level grinding and farming for souls and all that. And
yeah,
just some games don't really, you know, some games drop that entire aspect of Dark Souls, and it's like, well, no, your formula doesn't work as well without all the pieces, you know?
I mean, that's the thing. I don't think Dark Souls is actually that hard. It's just, it respects players more than a lot of modern games at the time did.
Yeah.
So to a lot of people, it feels harder because it doesn't give you a lot of the breaks that people were probably used to. You know, people like us who grew up with older games kind of understood that more. But yeah, it got the reputation of just being harder, and yes, there were way, way too many games that took the wrong lessons from that.
Yeah.
The Hollow Knight, as much as I love it now, being one of them, but thankfully there's enough around it that it didn't sink that game like I think it's sunk a lot of other games.
Yeah, and I had said something last week, but I wanted to repeat it real quick, just the way that Metroid Prime 4 kind of reminds me of Dark Souls, in the way that in Prime 4 you actually find other humans and you help them and they help you, and you end up with this nice little base camp where they hang out, and that really reminded me of Dark Souls, you know, just how when you save the sorcerer, you save the pyromancer, they all end up at that main Firelink shrine, and that, you know, that kind of acts as a hub area. I thought that was a neat aspect. Like, so I would say Prime 4 reminded me of Dark Souls in a good way.
Yeah.
You know. And thankfully, driving the motorcycle across the desert doesn't feel like Batman Arkham Knight did with the stupid Batmobile. I was worried about that, but I'm like, I think they did a good job with the motorcycle. And I love the motorcycle. When you get further into the game, you understand why it doesn't have like traditional fast travel, because it's like, well, first off, it doesn't need it. Like the motorcycle gets you across the desert pretty fast, but also you're supposed to be collecting those green crystals, and there are these shrines throughout the desert where you get upgrades to your different shot types, plus you get energy tanks and missile tanks and all that. So you're supposed to explore the whole desert, and the whole game has this more of this horizontal layout where the desert is in the middle, and that's kind of the hub area for each of the other regions that you explore. So other Metroid games had a vertical thing going on where there's elevators everywhere connecting the regions, but this was a little different, and I thought it was well done. It is interesting, though, that the jungle area feels like Talon Overworld, right? And then you've got your ice area, you've got your fire area, and it's like, oh, it has a very similar structure to Metroid Prime 1, but again, it works. And I think there's some interesting throwbacks to the whole series there, and I think the game works. So I just didn't get a chance to say much about Prime 4 before, and I just wanted to get that in there. That's all.
Well, I think we'll have more time to get to it, but I think we should start burning through some of these awards.
Yeah.
Before the show runs to 3 a.m.
All right. So next award.
Hold on. The winner of this award is games taking the wrong lessons from Dark Souls.
Nice.
Next award. Yes, these are still popular. This isn't new award for best turn-based RPG that we're... Yes. Despite the snark in that comment, this is not... Like, we're not going to be complaining about Clair Obscur here. This is for turn-based RPGs we really liked this year.
I think my answer is the most appropriate out of all of these. Which is all of the above.
I mean, that's fair.
It's, you know, if you enjoyed a turn-based RPG this year, I mean, there were a lot of good ones this year.
Yes. Now,
Dragon Quest 1 and 2.
For extensive remix.
HD. Octopath Traveler 0, which is like 100 hours of gacha game turned into a single player game.
That's really good.
Reincarnated into a real video game.
It's a gacha game that got turned into a real video game and is actually very fun and very long. It is very long. I mean, there were a there's the remake of Trails into the Sky, first chapter. There was a lot of good turn-based RPGs. There's even some pretty decent mediocre ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Clair Obscur.
Yeah.
I argue against that part, but I'm
I had to take the main route. I had to take it because it was open.
I know. going to say the Digimon Story Time Traveler one was probably on the better side of the mediocre end.
Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I'll believe you.
Yeah, I don't think it was going to be like top tier, but it still, you know, a decent game overall.
We got some nice remakes and remasters, Dragon Quest and Final Fantasy Tactics.
So, yeah, I think just all of the above, that turn-based did, there was a lot of good turn-based this year overall.
Yeah.
I'm just realizing exactly how weird my gaming selection was over the past year and how little of it was actually turn-based. Like, okay. Brain weird. Okay.
Yeah. And then we also have a category for best action RPG, and I was like, well, wait a second, like, Trails in the Sky first chapter has this cool hybrid combat system. You start in action combat, but then you hit a button and it switches over to turn-based mode, which in some fights it forces you into turn-based, but in other fights it's just you choose to do it because there's additional attacks and things you can only do. And so I was like, oh, huh, that actually kind of fits both categories. So I put that in for best turn-based. Yeah,
that's a good choice.
And also because I didn't play the new Octopath or the Dragon Quest or Final Fantasy Tactics, and I didn't like Clair Obscur, and I play Pokemon games. Screw Digimon. Sorry.
Speaking of action combat, but only kind of.
Yeah.
So I guess the winner is all of the above.
Yeah.
Yeah. The winner is play a turn-based RPG.
Great year for turn-based RPGs.
It definitely was a good year for turn-based RPGs, and I think this year is going to be another decent year so far with stuff that's already come out, and I mean, the Dragon Quest VII Reimagined, I'm very stoked for.
Yeah, that's going to be huge.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
I'm going to be streaming it.
So the winner is the Dragon Quest VII Reimagined demo. That's the winner of this category.
You know what? I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with that. That was a good demo.
Yeah, but it didn't come out in 2025.
I thought it came out.
I'll allow it.
Oh, it actually came out just after the new year.
Oh, damn it.
Doesn't count. Oh, no.
I think we'll just stick with all of the above.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to point out now, as we go into the next award, we know which game wins. We know what was meant to win, but we know what actually wins, and it's great. So,
okay.
I'd like to go into that.
Okay. There's no shame in losing to the winner.
Okay, so this is Namco's Pac-Man series guy in the West. It's really cool, and you should play Pac-Man World Repack 1 and 2, and also Shadow Labyrinth Award for best platformer of the year.
So you clearly wanted it to go to Shadow Labyrinth, and then we all voted for Donkey Kong Bonanza.
No, I just...
wasn't there a Pac-Man Metroidvania this year?
Oh, by the way, this show
I couldn't remember the name.
This show is sponsored by Namco Bandai. Not really. But no, I just want to throw in mention some more people go and play Shadow Labyrinth because it's weird and cool. And it's only $30 if it's not on sale.
Pac-Man World Repack 1 and 2 are also quite cheap.
Yes, those are also only $30 when not on sale. But they kind of got overshadowed by a big thing this year.
There was an 800-pound gorilla in the platformer category.
There was.
I've heard very good things about the 800-pound gorilla in the platformer category.
That was a very good thing. But unfortunately for that game, Donkey Kong also came out this year. And was much better than Yooka Replay-Lee.
Yooka Replay-Lee is fantastic, though.
It is, yes. Yooka Replay-Lee, very... If you liked Yooka-Laylee in theory, but not in actual execution, the remake is exactly what you want.
The remake is what if it was Mario Odyssey?
Yeah. And it's great. Yeah. But yeah, the real winner is Donkey Kong Bonanza.
Oh, banana.
I should have gotten the banana noise for this. I failed.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I need to leave now to take daughter to the dermatologist. So have fun discussing everything. I think right. I only really contributed to the, what was like, aim that something like you don't have to love it, but it's still really awesome or something like that. One of those towards the end. So
you voted for stray children for one category.
Yes, I created a category for it.
Oh, you did. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what we do here.
That's what we do here.
Yep. So just because, you know what? Yeah, it's definitely not for everyone. It was never meant for everyone. It's just the game that they wanted to make. So anyway, peace out. See you tomorrow, guys.
See you.
So do we have anything else to say on the Platformer Award other than, I mean,
I'm gonna give you a minor spoiler for some side quests in Clair Obscur and say that Clair Obscur is the worst platformer of the year.
Oh god, why?
They're just side quests, you don't have to do them.
Okay.
But yeah, you go on the beach sometimes and it's just
are you
these
talking
truly
about...
heinous.
No, because you're not in Act 2.
You go on the beach sometimes.
They made a jumping puzzle. As in, like...
yeah, there's some platforming segments. You can find
no,
a...
No. I'm saying there is an actual jumping puzzle. Like, getting over it.
Oh, God. Yeah, I haven't hit that yet.
Yeah, and... I will admit, I have not...
These are bad.
It's side content. And I have completely not done it because it gave me anxiety. Because I have a fear of falling from heights.
Ooh.
Also, if you fail these at any point, they make you start them over.
Oh man, but why did so many people like that game so much?
Listen, this is optional content. You don't have to do this.
Okay.
Found it a very good game.
And conversely, Donkey Kong Bonanza has some bonus stages that are side-scrolling, and they're awesome.
there's a bunch of RPG in it for some reason.
Yeah, there's... I found a bonus secret level, and it's basically the first stage from Donkey Kong Country. And it's Donkey Kong's house, and it's like, it's a lot of fun. But yeah, so Donkey Kong Bonanza is like, hey, let's do... It's like, it's better than DK64, and it seems to pull in more kind of Metroidvania and Zelda aspects to it, and with the, you know, you get health and skill points, and it's like, the game just has so much to offer. And it qualifies as an RPG.
Mm-hmm. Donkey build.
Shall we move on?
Yes. So the winner is Donkey Kong Bonanza, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah.
The next award is the Surprisingly Competitive Racing Game of the Year Award.
Yeah.
Like, what? How did this happen? We have Mario World.
Two different arcade racing games.
Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Kirby Air Riders are the main... Was there anything else? Could there have been anything else? Was there a Nickelodeon racer game this year? Was there a Garfield cat racing game this year?
I don't even think there was a Need for Speed racing game this year.
Probably not.
Yeah, there wasn't.
Was Unbound 2023 or 2024? I don't remember. Okay. And then
2022.
Oh. Yeah. That came out longer ago than I thought. And yeah, and then Forza Horizon 5 was like 2021.
That developer is busy making Fable.
Which looks kind of neat, so more power to him.
So. But yeah, those I didn't play Kirby Air Riders, but it looked cool. And then Mario Kart World, Sonic Racing, Crossroads, both very different games, but both good in their own ways. I enjoyed both of them, but it looks like the consensus was definitely Mario Kart World for that category. Yeah. It was just really had the edge.
I will say that City Trial in Kirby Air Riders is an incredible experience.
It's great. That's a very Kirby Air Riders. I was worried would just feel like Mario Kart Kirby, but it absolutely justifies its own existence and feels like a different experience.
Yeah, you get a very different racing experience with Kirby.
That said, I mean, Sonic Crossworlds is very good. Is that the same developer that's been doing all?
Oh, there was a Garfield racing last year.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah.
No digital, Garfield Kart 2, Animation. All You Can Drift.
Oh, God.
Dreadful.
What were we saying, dude?
I think it was Sumo Digital, the same company that did Team Sonic Racing.
And probably also, something before that?
Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing, Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transform.
Yeah.
Actually, no, they were not involved in Crossworld, it doesn't look like. Yeah, Crossworld.
Probably because they were working on Garfield Kart 2.
Thankfully not. Their most recent games being stuff like... good lord. Okay, yeah, they've been doing a lot of contract work. They did, like, the ports of... They did, like, co-development work on, like, the Gears of War update. But, yeah, who actually did Crossworlds? Gotta give credit where it's due.
Not sure it really matters for this conversation.
That's for me. Sonic Team.
Okay.
It was an internal Sonic Team game.
Okay. Yeah, it was really what I was really impressed by, other than just the racing being really solid, was the actual like third party worlds they incorporated were really cool. Like the Minecraft racetrack is really fun. And it takes you through like the Nether and stuff.
It's very, SpongeBob is
very good. The SpongeBob stuff is cool. Which makes me, I can't wait for some of the other stuff coming up for it, like Mega Man. It should be really fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that DLC.
But that said, it's kind of hard to compete with Mario Kart World, which is very, very good. And especially for someone like me, who always loved courses in Mario Kart games, where instead of going around a singular track three times, it's the laps are actually sections of one long race, like the one where you go down the mountain.
Rainbow Road.
Yeah, a lot of the Rainbow Roads. So this is very much a game, I feel, designed to appeal to me. So I love it. I love the way when you're playing multiplayer, you could pick, okay, let's just do this course, or... let's race from this course to this course. There's a lot of fun options. It's just really fun. I think they did a very good job. You know, Mario Kart 8 had a bazillion courses, and it's kind of hard to top. I feel like the new features and everything made it feel like a fresh experience. So, yeah, I was very happy with it.
Yeah, I would say Mario Kart World has more content than 8 did at launch, because we often forget that Mario Kart 8 launched on the Wii U, and then like the Zelda courses, the Mute City course, like those were added in the first two DLC packs. And then Mario Kart 8 Deluxe got all those other extra tracks years later, and so yeah, when we look at what's being offered at launch, Mario Kart World has plenty of content. You have your Grand Prix races, but you also have your knockout tours, and you have your free roam mode where there's stuff to collect. And Mario Kart 8, it's like, Mario Kart World, like, yeah, it's got the $80 price tag, but if you got the bundle like I did, you saved $30, and also you get everything. Like, Sonic Racing Crossroads, great game, and we're just talking about how they're adding DLC. I like that. That's a standard business model that we're used to, but again, that's a $70 game that immediately is like, oh, hey, how'd you like to give us more money for more stuff? Whereas Mario Kart World, you're getting like all the characters, all the courses, all the cars, it's all in the game. That having been said, like, Mario Kart 8 World does have plenty of content. Now, whether or not some of that content is worth doing is going to be kind of subjective. Like, I got a decent number of the P-Switch challenges. I did like over 100 of those. I got a bunch of the Peach medallions. I got some of the question mark panels. So there's hidden stuff that you have to find, and there's all the trials that you can do. I didn't feel compelled to do all of them because your only reward is, oh, have another sticker that you just put next to your name when you play multiplayer and you get a decal on your car. And so that's the only thing. Yeah, plenty of content, but you might not feel compelled to do all of it, but you are getting a full polished package at launch. And that's part of the reason that was so expensive. And then the thing is, like, as you get coins, you get more vehicles, but once you have all the vehicles, there's no reason to keep getting more coins. You have to eat the food bags to get costumes. Once you have all or most of the costumes, those are still worth getting because they give you a boost. And what I wanted to say, too, is what I like about Sonic Racing Cross Worlds is each time you get through a race, you get tickets that you can use to buy more car parts, and you can just customize all these like different vehicles. And that's something that was kind of missing from Mario Kart World, because Mario Kart 8, you would keep getting more parts, and you can mix and match them, whereas World was just you unlock a full vehicle at certain milestones. And that's what I meant before. We're looking at two kind of different games. Sonic Racing Cross Worlds still lets you have these customizable vehicles. It's more chaotic. It's more difficult, I thought. But to your point, Wheels, about Mario Kart World and how, you know, some of the courses you're driving in the space between them, I like how Racing Cross Worlds, the second lap, it can be different in every course because it's... You pick the left or the right path, and the right path is usually random. And so that's the thing. The first and third lap are the same, but then the second lap is different. And then usually the fourth stage in each cup is just a gauntlet of doing all of the courses right in a row. And so just some really cool ideas present in both games, I would say. Just a different approaches, but both equally good. Or maybe Mario Kart World slightly better, like we've been discussing. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say about all that. And Charmy B is awesome.
Dreadful Beast.
And then we didn't mention the new Sonic Racing lets you play as Hatsune Miku, and also and Ichiban, and Joker from Persona 5.
All sorts of RPG characters in there.
Good times.
All right. Are we ready for the next category?
Good times, unlike the next category.
I think Joe misunderstood what this category was supposed to be for.
I did.
Okay. Well, I didn't want to. I was going to say something. I was like, maybe he'll catch it on his own.
Well, because I understand the whole point was to. Okay, so the award is the This Shit Sucks Award for Excellence in Trends that suck fucking ass. I thought it was talking about trends in games, so like, you know, it was just an opportunity to bash AI, but I said Claire Obscure fuck parrying. So I just hate
that's
how
really
every
a trend in games.
Well, I mean, it's
kind of a trend in games, but
it seems like more games have it, and it annoys me. But then I also took the opportunity to say, you know, fuck cryptocurrency in addition to AI. So.
Yeah, well, and NFTs have definitely started to go downhill, I've noticed.
Thankfully.
I thought they were already dead.
Yeah, they're dead.
I almost see nothing. Like, the few times I see something about NFTs, it's usually someone really stupid talking about them.
Yeah. There's a newer episode of Futurama that's all about NFTs. Bender gets turned into a series of NFTs and then gets sold, and then they have to do a heist to get it back, but then no, you gotta watch it. It's so funny and stupid. Yeah. So, like, they want to break into the museum where the NFTs are being shown, even though it's explained to them by the kids multiple times, like, that's not how NFTs work. It doesn't matter. You can't just go in there and steal a painting. You still don't own the NFT, although nobody owns it. And it's so stupid, but it's funny.
Okay. But yeah, the answer to this was always AI. AI poisons all that we interact with in games and tends to just make the lives of actual developers miserable. So, fuck that shit.
Yeah. Pop that bubble. Let's move on to the next award. The Ninja Gaiden is back in POG form. Award for Best Action Game of the Year. Which is a pretty... Obviously, action game is a pretty loose term, but I was kind of...
I will admit, I was actually very confused by this award title.
I mean, this is kind of aimed at a specific kind of, like, Devil May Cry-esque action game, I guess.
Well, the thing is, you said in POG form, and all I could think of were POGs, as in those little cardboard circles.
Yes, that's the joke.
Yes.
It's not Simpsons joke.
It's a Simpsons Elf. Joke. I'm sorry.
Elf is back in POG form.
Which I always forget not everyone actually gets.
But we got three Ninja
Gaiden games.
I don't
to watch Simpsons, so...
That's
this is a Simpsons episode from 30 years ago as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, we got three Ninja Gaiden releases this year after a long period of none. And they're all good.
That's super weird.
Yeah, I don't get it. But my vote is going towards the 2D entry, which is Ninja Gaiden Ragebound from the Blasphemous developers.
The Game Kitchen, based in Spain.
Yes. Why does Spain have people good at making 2D-ish games? I don't know.
Why not?
Because they also made the best Metroid. Ragebound is very good. Very good 2D art. Very good action. Because it was coming from the developer of Blasphemous, I just assumed, until release, that it was going to be a Metroidvania. Which it is not. It's a classic stage-based action game.
Yeah, you can replay the stages, but there's collectibles that you use to buy artifacts that can modify the game in different ways. And so I played a few hours of it, and it's like it's quite good. Yeah, same art style as Blasphemous, and a lot of blood and gore and goo from demons, and it's fine. And you know what? I'd say it's better than all three of the NES games, there I said it. I really enjoy it so far. But so you can get the, like, you know, when you find the scarabs and the skulls in each level, you can unlock artifacts. Like, there's one that says when you get to a checkpoint, you get a full healing. But then there's some that make the game harder. So, you know, if you really want to challenge yourself. And you get a score on each level. So I got a B in a couple levels already. I'm like, well, I got to go back and get the A or the S or whatever. Yeah. That game rocks. Awesome 80s metal-inspired soundtrack as well. But my question is, did anybody play the other two Ninja Gaidens?
Did not get to it.
My streaming friend Rosar did do Ninja Gaiden 4, so I watched him play that.
That looks cool. I'd like to get that at some point. Yeah,
I've heard it's good.
I'm interested in it.
I've heard 2 Black is good as well. So
I guess that's a remaster. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess the winner is Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden wins the Ninja Gaiden Award. Great. Love it.
All right, let's move on to the next award, which I think Joe was also initially confused by.
Okay. Hold on, let me take a look.
Someone put in this award something that's not on a game.
I changed it. I changed my answer when I learned more.
So this is the game key cards suck. Oh god, I missed the A in award. The game key cards suck award should be A ward for best Switch 2 game released only as a game key card, which obviously means it's obviously also a digital release. But this is a weird category. But my vote is Assassin's Creed Shadows, which is a very, very good port.
Very impressive.
For Switch 2. Which, if you'll note, that is a game you cannot actually own a physical release of on any system, so. Because it doesn't matter what you get on. But yeah, it's an extremely good port. I was very impressed because I had originally played this on PS5. But my Nintendo account is linked to the same Ubisoft account, so I loaded it up on Switch 2. Turned it on, it loaded my save from PS5 without asking me and loaded me quickly into the game. Like, it was a ridiculously fast loading time.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I see. I initially said Cyberpunk because I thought it was a game key card and I was told that it wasn't.
It's not.
No.
All on the.
I mean, honestly, any game on a game key card. I mean, the Japanese library said, you know, key cards are not fit for preservation.
Yeah.
Jeez. So then I did Street Fighter 6 because that I love that game and that's a game key card on Switch 2. And I played the Switch 2 demo and I would say it's just as good as the PC version that I have. I didn't feel compelled to buy a second copy of it. I mean, I bought it digitally on Steam when it came out, and I bought all the DLC for it, but I might have considered getting the Switch 2 cart if it wasn't a game key card, just to have a physical copy of the game and something that we could play together. It would be easier for future shenanigans. I think we're going to be playing some more when Alex comes out. Blech. You can't escape. But then, yeah, and then Star Wars Outlaws was also a game key card, and I watched the whole Digital Foundry video on that one, and they basically just did a comparison between Switch 2 and Series S, and there's parity there, you know, they're definitely they look pretty equal, but they go into more detail about some of the more creative strategies they used, so you can see like visual differences on Switch 2 that, you know, look better or the same or better, even if they're using different like lighting techniques and stuff. And so it's a very good port from what I can tell.
Yeah, it's a great port that's only gotten better with patches.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're still wondering about the power level of Switch 2, it's like, yeah, it's absolutely on par with PS4 Pro, Xbox One X, the Series S. Absolutely.
It is
ultimately Microsoft is going to end up benefiting Nintendo by making it so that everyone had to make something that was paired back to Series S before.
Ubisoft's output, for some reason, like we say, as we find out that the company is in the midst of what appears to be its death throes.
It's not good. Big publisher going down. It's not good.
Yeah, nope. Tencent is going to own basically all of their IPs. It's going to be sad.
Sucks. Speaking of bad publishers, the EA award for excellence in being a shitty video game company.
Yeah, EA fought hard for this one by like getting purchased by the
Jared fucking Kushner. Yeah,
by the Saudi Public Wealth Fund, but ultimately, like, no one could defeat Microsoft.
What a shitty year for Microsoft. Not only in video games, but especially in video games.
Like, the Xbox division barely exists. They created the absolutely horrifying phrase Xbox PC this year.
God, why?
When everything becomes an Xbox, then nothing will be.
Yeah, kind of. And, of course, I still have to deal with fucking work meetings about how we need to all use Copilot, so...
Copilot's ass. I mean, all AI sucks ass, but Copilot especially sucks ass.
Especially Copilot.
Especially Bob.
But especially Lisa.
we kind of had to take some time to point out that they fought hard for this award and they fucking won it and they should not have even been attempting it.
Can you imagine buying the company that owns Call of Duty, saying, "Hey, you sign yourself up for our subscription service, you get that shit for free as part of your service," and that service still failing horribly.
Because it's $30 a month now.
I mean, but that just
when it fails to meet revenue expectations.
but I mean, Joe, that happened recently. Like, you could have gotten
that was them attempting to stanch the bleeding.
Yeah, that was after the latest Call of Duty came out.
Yeah.
It doesn't help that it is also apparently really bad by Call of Duty standards. Which is a rough place to be.
I don't play Call of Duty anymore. So here's
a fun thing that people who sell you streaming services need to realize. Your job is to put enough money in to get me to subscribe. But the problem is that once you've done that, you need to spend as little money more afterwards, because as it turns out, I can't subscribe harder no matter how many times you try to increase the number of tiers. Like, that's just not going to happen.
This is why I don't understand how Netflix works.
I don't understand how Disney Plus works either, and that's the same thing. Why did you spend $12 billion on this? Why did you spend, like, $90 million on a Wonder Man series?
I don't know. And like, Stranger Things is so fucking expensive, and that can't make you, aside from the merch I'm sure it sells, that can't magically get you the whole planet to subscribe or something.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm looking up how much was spent on Wonder Man, because that is one of the most, I don't know how that was meant to make money back.
It's apparently very good.
I hear it's better than a lot of the other ones.
I mean, I don't trust people's opinions on if they're bad. They're all fine except for one.
The winner of this award is MS, probably closely followed by EA.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're digging it out. but Microsoft manages to clinch the win.
Microsoft has gotten me to a point where even if they make another Xbox home console, I don't want it. You know?
No reason to trust it.
I would only consider, like, I've bought some digital games only because they were Play Anywhere, which means I'll be able to continue playing them on PC if my Xbox breaks and I decide not to ever get another one. So,
and whatever Machine Games puts out, that's about it.
Yeah, and then whatever, with Game Pass Ultimate being $30, it's like, gee, here's an idea. Like, instead of paying $30 a month and then not having time to play all these games anyways, or jumping between them rapidly, it's like, you know, first Doom Dark Ages went on sale for like $30. It's like, okay. And then Oblivion Remastered went on sale for $30. It's like, wait a minute. If you're just going to put them on sale for like 50, 60% off, it's like, I'm better off just buying one game per month instead of subscribing to the service per month. It's like, come on. And if you do the math here, here's the other thing with Call of Duty. If you do the math with Game Pass Ultimate, it's cheaper to just buy the $70 game and pay the $10 a month for the lowest tier of Game Pass.
I believe it.
You know, it's $360 a year to subscribe, or $190 a year to buy it and get the lowest tier.
So I don't want to rain on anyone's parade, but like, we've had so many awards to get through, so we need to finish.
We do. Okay.
Okay.
We are not here for tangents.
This is not Q&A Quest. The It's Not Here for Everyone, and that's okay because we know it's awesome award for your favorite weirdo game of the year. Please tell me I wrote down Shadow. I didn't write down anything for this award. This is my Shadow Labyrinth award, obviously.
I like the fact that you put in two games, and out of the six people who generally vote on these, it's split evenly between two and two because two people left it blank.
Didn't play either nominee, so I didn't touch it.
No, that's fine. But it is interesting, Stray Children's and then The 100 Line, Last Defense Academy. Only two options, and two people picked one, and two people picked the other.
Well, here's the problem, is there weren't really strict nominee rules, except for Game of the Year. So those were just kind of just suggestions, I guess. Joe, what was your favorite?
They're weird games.
Yes.
They are weird.
What is your favorite weird game of the year?
I don't know.
You assume he's playing he played a weird game.
I don't think he did.
I played a lot of games. I don't know how many I'd say were weird.
I actually played some of the 100 Line. It is weird.
It looks weird.
It's the Danganronpa people doing a strategy RPG. It is weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you trying to get me to say something specific, or...
No, you can pick whatever or say nothing.
I'm going to say nothing because I thought all of my favorite games of the year were all pretty normal.
Normal.
Let me check something real quick. I know we want to get through this quickly, but I have a list on my phone here. Let's see. My top 10 games of 2025... So from 10 down to 1 would be Everybody's Golf Hot Shots, and those games are always weird. Marvel Cosmic Invasion, that was weird only because it's all about bugs and aliens and shit. Numbers.
I just pulled up let's see, you played Astrobot, Disgaea 7, Little Nightmares, Rocket Knight Adventures, The Stanley Parable, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Far Cry 6, Imp of the Sun, Iron Meat, Visions of Mana, Xenoblade Chronicles 2, Donkey Kong Bonanza, Hades 2, Mario Kart World, Pokemon Legends ZA, and The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom, as far as the ones you beat.
Yes. As far as games that came out last year, I was gonna say I think probably Marvel Cosmic Invasion is probably the weirdest one. Yeah. And just in terms of what's going on.
Disqualified from this award.
Okay.
So Dave, tell me about Stray Children's, because I did not really hear anything.
Well, we needed Gaijin to talk about that.
I have not actually gotten around to it. I did it because I am an Onion. I am an Onion Games fan, and I trust that it will be great when I play it.
Oh, okay. This is the Tulip guy.
Yeah, Tulip. Wait, was he on Tulip?
Yes.
Okay, because like
the kissing RPG one. Yes.
Yes, no, I know that. My point was more just that like a bunch of Lama Delique people went to different corners of the industry, and I wasn't sure if he had been on that. But yeah, like they've consistently done great work. They did Moon Remix RPG Adventure back in the day. So yeah, their work is always interesting. Yoshito Kimura, for those unaware.
He is known for weird games.
Yep, he's a weird game connoisseur. Dandy Dungeon, great game. Let's see, Million Onion Hotel, weirdo game. But yeah, just a guy who's been around and does great stuff. And yeah, Tulip. Okay.
I need to get around to that too.
Yeah. So let's set this next thing because it's a relatively simple one.
So the winner of that last award is Onion Games.
Just as a company.
Yes.
Let's see. So the next one is Hades 2 Award for Excellence in Being Hades 2. This feels like a foregone conclusion.
Yes. Yeah, I wonder who won.
Hades 2 is the winner of the Hades 2 Award for Excellence in Being Hades 2.
Somehow Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles splintered Fate.
What? No! No!
That's just Hades with turtles, but it's great!
I love that game, but no! It's not as good as Hades 2.
It's not. It's one of the best turtles games, I would say.
If they could fuse those two games together... That would be incredible. But sadly, they have not. Okay, moving on. Let's skip ahead to the next award since it's related, and then we'll go back to the last one. Best song sung by the Sirens in Hades 2.
You did not put Hades 2 in that award title.
I did not, so if you have some other song sung by Sirens, it is technically eligible for this award.
I created the award. I was thinking of a specific Hades 2 song, but I intentionally left it open-ended because I thought, what if there are sirens in other games that sing? And Tam, what did you come up with?
So this is the most totally Tam answer. So Nikkei has a character named Little Mermaid. Her nickname is Siren. And I put the theme song to her event, which is called Unbreakable Sphere, which was their 2.5 anniversary event that came out last year.
Wow.
You know what? I don't want to question it.
So you can see where my mind went with this, because technically I am right. It is a song done by a siren.
You're technically correct. The best kind of correct.
I voted for Do Not Go to the Island.
No, I did hear like really good now because we were talking about Hades 2 on the RPG cast this week.
Nice.
A production of RPGamer.com. And one of the things they were mentioning is that the level that the sirens are in, like as you descend in the level or ascend, I don't know how the game, which way it goes in this game. Because I have not played Hades 2 yet.
You do both. Okay. The sirens are in the portion where you're going down.
But as you descend, like the song, the music and their singing actually gets louder. And I think that is a very interesting thing to do for a level.
it's very cool, and there's multiple different songs they sing, including when you put on the modifier where you fight the harder version of the boss.
Yes.
There's a special song for that, but whatever song they're going to sing during the boss fight, you hear that song as you're descending.
Yeah. So, so as you're descending, yeah, initially you do, you hear in the background, you hear Song of the Sirens, which is just her singing kind of, and it kind of sounds kind of atmospheric and mysterious. So the first time you fight them, the song is called Coral Crown. And actually the three girls are Erin, Yvette, Ashley Barrett, and Judy Alice Lee are their names. So yeah, Coral Crown is the first one. And then after you beat them and come back later, she gets mad at you. And that's my favorite one. She writes a new song called I Am Gonna Claw Out Your Eyes, Then Drown You to Death.
Wow. So
that's, yeah, she gets mad after you kill her a few times. And that's her new song. But like you said, if you go into the harder version, there's two other songs they can play. There's Rock in a Hard Place. And then there's also Bewitching Eyes. So one of those plays if you do the modifier to get the harder version of the fight. And the other one, I'm not sure.
I believe it's Rock in the Hard Place because there's an extra boss in the arena.
Oh.
When you're doing that one. Have you done that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, yeah. Do you remember the Kraken you have to fight sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that gets added to the siren fight.
That's awful.
It's not that bad. It's very chaotic. Okay.
I will start playing music to play you off if this continues.
Okay, moving on. The winner is, we're going to give it to Unbreakable Sphere.
Why not? Sure.
Why not? I feel like, this is your award, Joe. You can read this one.
Best co-op game that probably won't end friendships. And my vote... It got two votes to Marvel Cosmic Invasion, because we played that together a few times and didn't want to kill each other afterwards. Unlike that quite regrettable instance of Super Mario 3D World that the three of us played.
What are you talking about? That has one of the best clips of all time.
Yeah, with us just throwing each other off cliffs and stuff.
Oh my god, is it still in the chat? Hold on, no, that's... Oh god, that's...
Oh. So, just want to point... Marvel Cosmic Invasion does not have friendly fire. You cannot pick each other up and throw each other, so that's probably why it won't end a friendship. It is a strictly co-op game.
I'm trying to break open the wall, damn it.
And then...
The protagonist of your life.
Oh, fuck!
The clip is still in the clips channel.
Okay.
Saying, I'm the protagonist you of your for? Life, and then saying, oh, fuck.
I'm trying to break open the wall, damn it.
I'm gonna put it in
the protagonist of your life.
Oh, sure.
Oh, fuck!
Sometimes there are just things I'd rather not question.
It's so good. Oh, Dave Rowe, I will find a way to be mad regardless of the game.
I believe it.
That's fair.
So while Splintered Fate did get a Switch 2 upgrade recently, I wasn't considering that because it didn't technically come out in 2025. And yeah, and then like the we also played Mario Kart World and Sonic Racing Cross Worlds a few times, but those are competitive, so didn't fit the category either. Okay.
So the winner is Splintered Fate.
Fine. Switch 2 edition.
Zero votes.
So, I came up with something that I wasn't really being serious, but I just said, I feel like Doom Dark Ages should get an award for something.
The actual question was what we were going to call the award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Doom Dark Ages Memorial Award for Playable Fantasy Metal Album Cover.
Because the original title of this award was, what would we name the award?
Memorial Award for Playable Fantasy Metal, yes.
I was like, more Doom than could ever Doom Award.
It really is like a... It is like playing a power metal album, you know, because this time it's like... So it's technology and medieval stuff. So you ride a dragon that has a machine gun on its wing. You know.
So I have the perfect answer to this.
Yeah. Okay.
Glory Hammer.
Sure.
It is a power metal band that is both futuristic and fantasy. So you have like solar powered rocket gun robots and evil dark magic. Cool. And if no one has, and if none of you have actually listened to Glory Hammer, I do recommend them.
Have you listened to the Japanese? Have you listened to the Japanese power metal band Galnerius?
No.
They did the
back in 1992.
They did the opening and ending theme for Rin, Daughters of Nemesis, the anime. I don't know if you ever watched that.
No.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Galnerius sounds like a side-scrolling shooter from the late 80s, early 90s.
It does, honestly.
Gaiaris, yeah.
It does have Gaiaris energy.
Okay, so that was just something I was trying to have fun with. I enjoyed Doom Dark Ages, and it did get an award at the Game Awards. I guess it got the Accessibility Award. I didn't dive too much into those settings because I didn't need them. But I guess there's a lot of stuff in there. And I wanted to just point out that game has a separate difficulty slider for parrying timing. So I was able to play on just normal difficulty. I think it's hurt me plenty. But I was able to just slightly increase or slightly decrease the specificity on the parry timing so that it's much easier to pull off. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Doom.
And yeah, good soundtrack. So next category that I also came up with, best monster collecting game, because believe it or not, there was more than one.
It's true.
Actually, that's not hard to believe. There were a lot that came out last year.
Yeah. So I was just looking for an excuse to give an award to Pokemon Legends ZA, but I do know there was a Digimon game and I think one or two others in addition to that.
Yeah, the Digimon was Time Strangers.
Okay.
And then there were a bunch of indie ones that came out. But last year was very big on monster collecting games.
Did you play any of the indie ones?
I didn't play any of them.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of monster collecting games. Oh, I did. I think I did play Dragon Quest Monsters: The Dark Prince. Did that come out last year?
It did not.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, there was a version of it that did come out last year, but something. Yeah, I think it was a port to something else from somewhere else.
Let's take a quick look. Do, 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 do,
do, do. It might be like the Switch 2 version came out last year.
There isn't a Switch 2 version.
Considering I'm like the one person on here who owns it that doesn't use it, yes.
Windows came out in 2024. That's all I can find. Just that last year.
Yeah, it might have been the port to like Switch 2, maybe.
No, there was no port.
Okay, then never mind.
I don't know.
I don't really play.
That's fair.
Monster game, so we'll just leave it at that.
So the winner is Digimon. Pokemon Legends ZA, which we'll talk about more later, so we can move on. Best Switch 2 Town Building and Farming Simulator type game, which surprisingly has two entries.
From the same publisher.
That's what I did. I came up
with the third entry, because Story of Seasons Switch 2 came out like right before the end of the year.
Yeah, so I came up with
I came up with that category because there were like three Switch 2 launch titles of that genre, right? And also I've been playing a lot of Rune Factory Guardians of Ozma and streaming it for RP Gamer, and I love that game.
It's very fun. But the Story of Seasons Grand Bazaar remake, it was also very good.
And then the other one was something like The Girl Who Fell Through Time or something.
What?
I don't know.
The Girl Who Felt... Did you make that up?
No. Hold on. What?
That is like too specific.
Was it I Fantasy Life or something?
Fantasy Life,
The Girl Who Fell Through Time, yes.
That is not really the same kind of game.
Oh, it's not? Okay.
No. I can see it's the confusion.
It's Girl Who Steals Time, by the way.
Yeah, oh, Steals Time.
But that's not the same, quite the same kind of game.
Okay.
I think Joe was conflating it with the old anime film, The Girl Who Leapt Through Time.
No. I don't know. But...
Yeah,
anyways,
I would also give this to Rune Factory. I played both of these, and Grand Bazaar is extremely good and very charming and relaxing and entertaining, and I highly recommend people play it. But I think Rune Factory Guardians of Ozma is very important because it feels like Rune Factory, which was kind of just here's Harvest Moon with dungeons or Story of Seasons. And now it feels like it has much more of its own identity. Like,
yeah,
the farming is an aspect of the game. It's a very important aspect of the game, but it feels more like a world you can explore, and the RPG element feels bigger this time around. It's gotten the mix right.
I think it's a good balance of all the different elements. And I just found out there is a companion character who can permanently die based on your dialogue choices at a pivotal moment in the game. Mm. So, yes, one of my potential female love interests is permanently dead.
Oh, no.
But I wasn't that upset because I already had two other girlfriends in the game. I'm a jerk.
Wow.
I like Ulalaka, and I like the other girl. What's her name? The first one you meet with the purple hair. Whatever. Iora or Itadora or whatever. It's fine.
Let's move on.
Yeah. Next category is best new console. And again, that was me just joking around saying, well, what else would you give it to? The Switch 2. But we actually had another nominee, the Tiger R Zone.
Yeah, no.
It was a video game system from 30 years ago. It was imagine a tiger handheld, except that it was blaring red directly into your eye.
That's awful.
So much worse than your imagination. Yes.
All of the Tiger electronics were bad. I had a Tiger Street Fighter watch, and technically there was some kind of Street Fighter game on that watch, but I mean, you never knew what the fuck was going on. Oh. You hit buttons and you heard sounds.
The watches were so bad to work. I mean, I remember those things. I remember kids at school would play those things, not the Tiger handheld ones, but the watches, yep. Only because of the fact it was a Catholic school, and that's how they were able to get around some of the rules.
Yep. Yeah, I had the Street Fighter watch, and at some point it broke and wouldn't play the game anymore, but I still wore it because it looked cool. Couldn't tell the time. And never told the time, actually.
I'm going to hit you with some important Tiger R-Zone facts.
Sure.
You wore it on your face, as you can see from this image. It had a controller that you held. I want you to note that controller had four buttons. They are incredibly uncomfortable to hit, and then it has like five things that look like start buttons, except there's one of them start, one of them select, no game use those. One of them turns the sound on and off. One of them is pause. One of them is off. it is tremendously uncomfortable. The answer is to, like, the only other thing you could even theoretically give this to would have been, like, the fucking, what is it even called? One of those handheld PCs which got, like, Xbox branding. I forget its name. The ROG Ally X.
That wasn't a new console. No, that was just an Xbox branded ROG Ally. Yeah.
The Ally X was technically an updated version, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
But also they have a very high failure rate, and you should, they're $1,000, so no.
Microsoft.
Switch 2 wins by default. Moving on.
I mean, by default, but it's also really good. So
yeah, in a more competitive year, it would have also probably won. But yeah. So moving on to
actually, they made a Metroidvania Pac-Man game.
I'm loving it. I'm all about this shit.
It's weird. You should play it. It's great. It's so weird.
It's weird.
It has so many references I can't even begin to understand. Because it's old, weird Namco shit.
Are we talking like Jade's Belt from Tales of the Abyss being a Pac-Man?
No, that's too new. That's too new a reference for this game.
Going out of my mind.
We're talking like weird old arcade games none of us have probably ever heard of.
You underestimate how many arcade games I've heard of, man.
Have you played Shadow Labyrinth yet?
Yeah.
You're underestimating how many Tales of games I've played that make references to all these obscure Namco games.
Oh, no, this has those beat by like 1,000,000%.
No, I was talking more about my knowledge of those weird games.
Oh, okay.
I will be disappointed if there's no Baraduke references.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
That's Dig Dug's, not Dig Dug's. Well, Dig Dug's ex-wife is from Baraduke.
Oh, God. I'm going to need to find a guide, not on how to beat this game, on what all the shit in this game is.
Moving on. Action, yes. RPG of the year.
Pretty straightforward. Not in a jokey category at all. I wrote something in here. I'm going to give it to Shadow Labyrinth, even though it might not qualify. I don't care right now. I'm voting for Shadow Labyrinth.
Anyone else? I put in three because I don't really play action games, but I heard good things about all of them from various people who played them. So,
Stellar Blade did not come out this year.
It did on PC.
Oh, God. God.
That's a port. It's a port.
Doesn't matter. We didn't specify that.
No.
But I mean, but it is a very good action game. Ghost of Yotai, I heard very good things of overall. And Ninja Gaiden 4, as I said, I watched my buddy Rosar play and it looked very good. So.
Yeah, I like Stellar Blade, but I didn't think of it because, I actually just bought the PS5 version on sale, but I didn't think of it. Because it, you know, it's a PS5 release. And I put Rune Factory, yeah. So, fine.
So the real winner is the adventure game you play along the way.
The discussion with friends along the way.
So Shadow Labyrinth would count for that category too, right? I don't know.
Which one?
Action RPG of the year.
Yeah, I'm voting for it. Are you going to vote for it, Joe?
No, I voted for Rune Factory.
Okay, fine. The winner is Shadow Labyrinth. Okay, moving on to the next category. Most overlooked gem of the year. I wonder what I'm going to vote for this one. I don't know.
Why was your whole thing lime green? I can't read.
The idea was to I guess, everyone shade their column in different colors so it's easier to tell whose is whose as we're scrolling down. And
then, yeah,
then that just didn't happen. So mine is lime green.
I think it's because you're the only one who knew how to do that, or yeah, the rest of us didn't care.
Couldn't figure that out. Yeah, so then you were, yeah, okay, so you voted for Shadow Limp again.
It's been on sale and it's only $30 full price.
It's been on sale for like 20, yeah.
Like, and I want more people to buy it because clearly some weirdos put a lot of heart and soul in this game.
I mean, that's Yoko Taro's thing, is he's like, there's not enough weird people making games anymore.
And man, I put South of
Games, but he's, yeah, not wrong.
So for that category, I put South of Midnight because I played a few hours of it and I thought it was neat, and it didn't get much attention, and didn't, I don't think it won any award. Or actually, no, you know what? It did win an award. Maybe for best narrative or something? I don't remember. I thought it got one award.
It may have.
But it's got cool jazz music, and you use voodoo magic, and it's cool. I don't know.
So, I did not put anything in this. But even because I don't feel it was overlooked because a lot of people talked about it. But the problem is, I don't think a lot of people actually played it. And that is The 100 Line.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Eric really liked that one.
Yeah, I'm given to understand.
Especially with its like 100 plus endings.
And people must be buying it because it's just Video Games Plus in Canada just put out a reprint.
Yeah, so like people are buying it, but no one's like talking about it.
I mean, sounds weird as hell. Maybe people are still trying to understand.
I mean, that could be. It could be. Maybe I'm just wrong in thinking that it was overlooked. I don't know. I mean,
I understand what you're saying. Like, I see it mentioned in sales all the time, and it seems to be selling, but I don't see in my sphere of people talking about games, I don't see a lot of people talking about it.
Yeah, like, I've seen interviews from the devs being like, I've actually seen something where it said, oh yeah, it sold very well. It's just no one is talking about it. So.
Well, money says a lot, so if it's selling, that's probably enough.
So.
Money talks.
So sex sells.
Yeah.
But who's buying?
Does anyone else have any votes for this category?
No. I'm blocked.
No.
Okay, so we're going to give this award to all three of the entrants.
Okay.
I really just wanted to draw attention to them.
Yeah. Play more weird games. Next one is best DLC or expansion of the year.
I created that one, and I want to give it to the Pokemon Mega Dimension donuts.
It's a very good DLC.
Yeah.
So the only DLC I played, and wasn't technically last year, but came out last year, mm-hmm, is the Sea of Stars Throes of the Watchmaker DLC. And I feel it fixed some of my issue, or it didn't fix, but it addressed some of my issues that I had with the narrative of Sea of Stars, which I think is a very decent game.
I have not played Sea of Stars.
I would like played to at some point. I played a bit, and it was okay. Well, because do you know what it had in it? Parrying. And you had to use visual and auditory cues to hit the button at the right time.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. I just didn't stick with it. I don't think it was a bad game. I just didn't stick with it. I played it while it was on Game Pass. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an okay game, but I don't think it was like top tier. And I definitely feel it had narrative issues.
Yep. I picked Pokemon because it just the whole thing revolves around you make donuts. That's it. And I hate Destiny 2. Everybody knows that. Oh, look. Dave just said I anti-vote for Destiny, so that means Pokemon wins.
No, the winner of this is Destiny 2 Renegades, a very fun collab with Star Wars.
Put you into a trash can.
Putting a whole season of lightsabers in Destiny 2.
Honestly, Wheels, I just think, is in the trash can of gaming in general.
Okay.
Although I do love you, Wheels.
I appreciate that. So Destiny 2 Renegades is the winner. Let's move on to the next award. The strangest complaint about a game this year, which I came up with this award, seeing people on Blue Sky complaining about talking in Metroid Prime 4, which I have played many games and many games with many talking. That sounded weird. Many games with lots of talking, lots of excessive talking. And on that list of games is not Metroid Prime 4. So I don't know what the fuck people are talking about.
Yeah, Miles McKenzie talks a lot when you first meet him, but then beyond that, he acts as like the hint system. So if you want to, you go into your map, you press X, and he'll give you a hint on what to do next. But there are parts where you can't get a signal on the radio, so he can't talk, and it's fine. He's awesome. And then you find other humans who also talk a little bit. Like, there's this one guy where you'll find him camping out at different points in the desert, and when you talk to him and listen to his story, he'll give you an item each time. So, yeah, I did not understand that complaint either. Like, Miles McKenzie is cool. He's helpful. He's useful.
So, here is an interesting take on this. For a complaint is I was actually watching someone play Metroid Prime 4 and their complaint was, oh, this character must have been voiced by AI because of just how like stilted and like stop go the voice acting was. I actually looked it up and it was actually voice acted by a person. It was just the person was bad voice direction.
Well, probably the voice direction was bad.
Actually, the person they hired was an actor. And I have heard complaints before that people who do acting cannot always do voice acting.
True. Okay. Well, Miles McKenzie can, he kind of reminds me of Chadley a little bit, but he doesn't even sound as robotic as a guy who is an actual robot. So.
God bless Chadley.
Is that the one they were talking about? Because I don't think his acting is bad.
Oh,
it must be.
Was it the sniper guy?
I think it was the sniper guy in the snow area.
He's not the
best. Oh well, he sounds like Native American to me. That's all.
One moment, I am looking up.
Okay.
The information. I will not say the names, you know, so there's no backlash.
Okay.
What was the guy? What was the character's name?
I don't remember. I was just talking to him. No, it just the way that he talks reminds me of just yeah he to me he sounds Native American, and just part of kind of their culture is there's not really a lot of small talk and. Just the way he enunciated stuff, that's what it sounded like to me. And I thought that was neat, you know.
But I mean, more to the point is, he doesn't talk at all, very much at all.
No, none of them do. I mean, they do when you first meet them and you're trying to, like, rescue them.
Yeah, no, let's see. I found the guy and... Yeah, he's like fully trained and everything, has done a lot of stuff in like Australia and the UK.
Okay.
So, and musicals and things, but he has never voice acted like anime or video games before.
Interesting.
This is so, yeah, so he, yeah, I'll link this one on the Discord.
Okay. But I mean, more to the point, like, yeah, maybe that voice actor isn't great, but it's such a tiny fraction of the experience that I just,
yeah,
calling out VAs as being AI when they're just bad.
Yeah.
I that's more of the complaint. It's like, oh, this must be an AI voice because of how bad it is. It's like, no, this is a real person. They're just not doing a good. Yeah. They are either not trained or not used to doing this type of work.
I don't know.
That happens in good games, bad games. It just happens.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, a different friend who streams made this comment about something she was demoing, and a character they thought was AI was not AI because of, you know, the same, you know, stilted lack of emotion type casting. And the character they didn't think was AI actually turned out to be AI voiced, and it showed like emotions. It was very well done. So it's like, yeah. So don't just assume that just because the voice acting is bad, it's an AI, and don't assume that just because it's well done doesn't mean it's not AI.
But also, it must be destroyed.
I forget what game it is. I'm not going to go. I don't really care.
AI Delenda Est.
Yeah. So, that is my strangest complaint, is, you know, complaining about AI voices when they're not actually AI. So, moving on?
Yes.
Winner.
Who
knows?
The winner is people can always find new ways to complain about new Metroid games, because I guess Other M just broke everyone's brains, which I understand.
It was all about the baby.
I understand, yeah. But get over it. There has not been a bad Metroid game since Other M. They're all very good.
And I didn't think Other M was all that bad.
So moving on.
But that is a topic for not this.
Yes.
All right.
So the Saga Emerald Beyond Award for a game from a big publisher with a clearly small budget that does cool things.
And once again, Wheels wanted Shadow Labyrinth to win.
Not necessarily to win, but it's nominated.
I put Octopath Traveler Zero.
That's a good vote. It's a very good vote.
Oh.
Yeah, because
another good way to reconstitute a fucking mobile game into a normal game.
and it's like worth the content, because it is, like, as I said, like most people I've seen stream this. This is including like Scott from RPGFan.com, who streamed this, and he is known for like breaking games and playing them fast. He was still at like 110 hours when he finally beat it. It is a long game, because they put a lot of the content from the first two or three seasons worth of the mobile game into this. So you have all these different story arcs that are supposed to take, you know, come out, you know, over a couple of months or several months, you know, several months to a year, and they put it into this game, which is why it has so much content.
Yeah, I really need to get around to that at some point. But yeah, Shadow Labyrinth also, too. A strange game I cannot believe was made. But I'm going to just say and Joe, you want to talk about Hotshots Golf real quick?
Yeah, so for that category, I did everybody's golf Hotshots because it clearly had a lower budget than the previous Everybody's Golf game, and it was also a different publisher, different development team. So I think Sony still owns the franchise, but this was not Clap Hands. And Bandai Namco actually did this. But it does some neat things. So even though it very clearly is a Hotshots Golf game or Everybody's Golf, it does do some new things that haven't been done before in the series, or and that haven't been done in Mario Golf either. And I don't know. I had a lot of fun with it. There's a lot of characters to unlock. There's an actual story mode in this one, so each character has story chapters. You get food items so that you can permanently boost stats. You get dye, the different colors of dye, so that you can change the color of their outfits, and you get additional outfits. And then there's this multiplayer mode where every time you hit the ball and it lands somewhere on the fairway or the rough or wherever, it might explode and go flying. And that can happen up to 3 times on one hit. It does not happen on the green, but I've had cases where I landed on the fairway and blew up 3 times and actually ended up closer to the hole. I just think it's hilarious.
Yeah, looking it up, it came about from a licensing deal with Bandai. So, like, yeah, Bandai Namco, you know, did base and the company Hyde, HYDE, who were the developers.
Despite a different publisher and developer, it still absolutely maintains the spirit of the series, and it feels like a direct sequel to World of Invitational from the Vita and PS3. Whereas, you know, Everybody's Golf for PS4 was definitely a much more ambitious game that had, like, amazing graphics that killed the performance. You could see, like, hundreds of blades of grass that were rendered in, but you could drive around in your golf cart, and there was fishing, and there was all this other stuff, and it was a great game, very ambitious. That was the first one that let you just make a character, and it was more of an RPG. They would get stronger. But no, this one, there's something to be said for this one, because it goes back to the older format, but then there are still ways to upgrade your characters and customize them. Yeah, so I thought it was a good thing, and it was clearly a lower budget, but they pulled it off, I thought.
Well, I think the winner is people doing cool things with a smaller budget, because a lot of bigger budget games have sucked ass.
They really have. When all that money is just going into 4K textures and it's just going to these artists to render and to draw that stuff, and I don't know. There's a lot of lower budget games that just focus on gameplay instead of graphics, and they work. Yep.
I love it. All right. We're getting down to the last few here. Best remake or remaster?
I created that one because there were just so many of them, and I just thought, and plenty of them were good. Yeah. So it was just an opportunity to give a shout out to Yuka Replayly, Tony Hawk 3 and 4. I put Oblivion in there. I enjoyed it. I like that game, but I understand some people don't. And even with the new coat of paint, it's still janky as fuck.
How is that pot? How?
So I picked Yuka Replayly. Oh, Tam picked Saga Frontier 2, which I forgot about and I didn't play, but I heard good things about it.
Oh, I didn't play it. The fact that, I mean, I played Saga Frontier 2 originally, so the fact that it simply got a remake, I was very happy about.
Good.
Well, they've been doing great things with Saga lately, so looking forward
hopefully that continues.
Looking forward to the inevitable Unlimited Saga remaster. The freaking remake of Romancing Saga 2 was incredible, so the Saga is in a great place right now. I could not be happier. It was a very good year for remakes. Even we got another re-release of East Oath and Felghana, which is the game that got me into that series.
Which is funny because this year we have the remake, I guess it's the hands version of the newest one.
Oh yeah, Proud Nordics, and also Memories. What the hell is it? Calcutta.
Memories. Salsetta, I think.
Memories of Salsetta. Always mess
up. It's either Calcutta or Salsetta. I don't know. Is it a hard or soft C? Nobody knows.
Well, someone knows it. It's not us.
We'll have to figure it out. Yeah, we play it again.
That's coming to Switch this year after having come to PS4. I forget when. But I saw it at PAX, so I know it exists. It'll be a very Falcom year. Summer Falcom.
Sure.
It's happening.
Everything's coming up Falcom. Yeah. The next category, we don't even have to go into it. It was a joke. Quote, best. Sorry, what?
Do we want to pick a winner for best remake? Or do we want to...
Say, oh.
Are we
the best? Also, well, you...
Pac-Man... Pac-Man World 2 Repack, or Pac-Man Re... What's the actual title?
Pac Repack. World
2 Repack.
Okay. That came out this year as well. It's very good, so... I don't want to leave that out.
Okay. Well, you and I both voted for Yuka, so...
Yeah, I think that's got to win it, because it's just like...
It got two votes, and it was quite good.
It's what you want to see in a remake, so yeah, let's give it
that.
Okay. Continue on to the next award.
The next award was a complete joke. Wouldn't even have to go into it. I said, quote, best, unquote, Skyrim clone... and I just wrote Avowed because I played a little bit of Avowed. I liked it, but for me the joke was I used to be a Skyrim clone like you until I took a Pillar of Eternity to the knee.
Dreadful.
Yeah,
my life is immensely worse for having heard it.
Okay,
you sounded like the guy from the Billy Madison game show. Okay. May God have mercy on your soul.
Yes.
Next
award.
You came up with that one, and I didn't even know how to interface with it.
The Dr. Thunder Award for Best Store Brand Version of a Popular Franchise. This is a game that's very clearly a ripoff of a popular franchise, and isn't bad. Isn't necessarily great. It's just like, you know... Like a store brand, like give me, what are some other good store brands?
Nature's Promise from Stop and Shop.
Kirkland.
No.
Kirkland Signature.
Yeah, that's a store brand.
Well, whatever you say, don't say Great Value because that's just food poisoning in a bag.
No one was saying that. But
no one was ever going to say that. Great.
I'm right near. I live right near Kirkland. Nice.
I mean,
go Seahawks.
Kroger's has like several different brands, so it's like which one? They have Kroger's brand. Natural Selections is another one from them for Kroger's.
Right, and then I can be mean here and say like I have never played a
for their soda.
I've never played a Digimon game, but I think that Digimon is just store brand Pokemon.
I think you can certainly make that case.
It's kind of not.
I know. I'm sure someone would yell at you, but you could probably. my vote was for Chronicles of the Wolf, which is a fine indie Metroidvania that's clearly riffing on Castlevania.
That's fine.
It's very much like a B or C tier game, but like. It's not bad by any stretch of the imagination. It's pretty fun. You know, it's not a game I'm going to put on any best of lists, but I also don't feel like I wasted my money. I had a good time. Does anyone else have any other entries, or should we just move on?
Move on to the final category.
Let's just finish this out. Put this dog to bed.
Okay. The game... of the year, insert grandiose orchestra thing with guy playing weird flutes.
Insert the song that plays when DK turns into a snake.
I was saying Blurns.
Talk. Talk.
Buy my book.
Talk. Talk.
Okay, let's list the nominees. The nominees for... Oh, dear Lord.
Good lord.
What was the hell was that?
Sorry, I did not know. I apologize. I did not expect that. I apologize.
What are you doing?
So let's go through the nominees for this year's Shenanigans Best Game of the Year. We have Metroid Prime 4, Donkey Kong Bonanza, even though I only wrote in Donkey Kong and not the full title of the game, Hades 2, and Pokemon Legends Eevee.
I played none of them. That's so fine. I threw my own.
What is your nomination?
Super Robot Wars Y.
Oh, come on. You jerk.
I mean,
that was great, actually. That was perfect.
Game no one cares about.
I wish I was the kind of person that could care about Super Robot Wars Y. It looks awesome. It's not a game designed for me, but I would.
It was better than 30.
I would love to enjoy it.
And now it has the big O.
I understand
that reference. Oh my god, I understand that reference. I know what that is. Thank you, Cartoon Network.
Yeah, anime Batman.
I'm Batman.
I mean, am I wrong in calling the Big O just anime Batman?
I don't remember. I haven't watched it in a long time.
Is overtly inspired by the look of Batman the Animated Series.
But that's not a bad nomination at all, even though it was not in the list of nominees. Dave, you want to talk about your choice?
It's Donkey Kong. Do I need to explain this? Yes. It's really good.
Yeah.
Donkey is short for Donkard?
Yes, Donkard.
Nice.
Also, I, for some reason, treated it like it was Manfred Mann's Earth Band, Donkey Kong's Earth Song.
That's great. Wait, so Wheels, you wrote shockingly Pokemon Legends EA? Why would that be shocking?
Well, because if you look at, like, by playtime, it would be Hades 2, because I obsessed over that game and got nearly everything.
Yeah, you did all the host game, yeah. Okay.
And obviously Donkey Kong, I think, brought me tons of joy. But Pokemon, for some reason, just really, I don't know, it just hit different than I think any other game this year. I don't really have a good explanation for why.
Pokemon Legends EA was like very good. It was better than I expected it to be. And to a point where I've been streaming it two nights a week for RP Gamer, and it's like, I don't want to stop. And I went right into the DLC. I did the post game. I got Mewtwo. I got the legendaries. It's like, this is so good. Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Cause I mean, you look at Donkey Kong, it's like, it was obviously, I mean, yeah, I guess Donkey Kong was a surprise too. Like I was not necessarily expecting it to be as incredible as it was. But given the developer, yeah. I thought it was going to be very good.
I voted Donkey Kong, and it's weird because when they first announced Donkey Kong Bonanza, I was like, oh, I don't think I care about this. But then as it got closer to release and I saw the Nintendo Direct, saw more footage, I'm like, this looks amazing. And that's when it really hit me, like, wait a minute, I loved Donkey Kong Country 1 and 2. I loved DK64, despite its flaws. And then Bonanza, I just had such a strong emotional reaction to the game. It was longer than I expected. It was more fun than I expected. There was a meaningful story. And then, like, you get to the final stage, the final boss, it's like, holy shit.
Oh my god, the end sequence of that game. It's so, you know what, I'm changing my vote to Donkey Kong.
Okay, so I'm going to say Donkey Kong made me cry. I'm 40 years old, and that game, I was crying when I beat that game.
Plus the fucking zebra music is fucking fire.
Oh God, yes. All the music, but yes, zebra music.
Zebra, 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 zebra.
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 I like the snake song as well. Oh, you know what it is? The zebra song made me think of Gloria Estefan. The rhythm's going to get you. The rhythm is going to get you. The rhythm is going to get you.
Oh my God, that end sequence. Yeah, that's... It's just wild. And then...
I don't want to spoil it, but remember... At the end of Donkey Kong Country, you think you beat it, and then it turns out you didn't.
Yeah.
There's so much more left.
And then I didn't nominate that for best DLC or expansion. The Emerald Rush. It's a good mode, but I mean, I would say the DLC wasn't really that substantial, and it was definitely not on par with the other nominees there. And you get to explore DK Island, but then they didn't put anything on there to do really. So, but other than that, yeah, no, just great game start to finish, really. Yeah. I loved it. And then Prime 4, I'm just about to finish because I just got 100% items and got all the green energy I needed, and now I'm ready to go to the final area.
Very good 3D Metroid, and a great way to reintroduce that series to people.
Yeah, and so I would say those four nominees we have there, those are four of the best games I've ever played, you know?
I think this says a lot about the kind of first year that the Switch 2 had, because
this is all Nintendo
games, and a game that is only on Nintendo as far as consoles go.
Right, and so like that's it. Like as far as I'm concerned, the true winner of the whole year is Nintendo. Like, you know, they win 2025 because of Switch 2. Yeah, Mario Kart World, Donkey Kong Bonanza, Pokemon Legends EA, Metroid Prime 4. Those are four of the best games I've ever played. They're all first-party exclusives for Switch 2.
And the system itself so horrifyingly well. Jesus.
Everybody's buying one. And yeah, so I like the idea that some people's first Metroid game might be Prime 4. And it has quality of life improvements. Like, boy, they're going to be glad that you don't have to go all the way back to your last manual save when you die against a boss, you know? And Hades 2 was pretty much Hades 1, but just bigger and more and just better in so many ways, and just more of what I loved about the first one.
More in a lot of important ways, I think, too.
Yeah.
More.
Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road you're on.
Dave, did your mind go where mine did?
I was going, more. How do you like it? How do you like it?
I went with the Brave Little Toaster one.
That's a good choice.
What?
Just referencing more in different ways.
Yeah.
In the midnight hour, she cried more.
With the midnight hour. I'm not hard to get on a song, but we're done. We're cooked.
it's Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong is the winner, but these were all... There's no overhype here.
There's no loser.
Metroid Prime 4, ignore the haters. If you like Metroid, if you like exploration games... you'll like Metroid Prime 4. Donkey Kong Bonanza is one of, if not the best, 3D platformers of all time. Pokemon Legends EA is, in my opinion, much better than the last Legends game and provides a different and interesting take on Pokemon.
Yep.
And Hades 2 is maybe not story-wise as good as the first game, but definitely gameplay-wise, improvement and a hell of a lot of fun to play. And Super Robot Wars Y, if you understand all those references, is probably awesome too.
Even if you don't.
Interesting. Tell me more.
I got to beat up Godzilla.
Okay, let's see. Amazon.com Super Robot Wars Y.
You beat up Godzilla.
You beat up Godzilla. I am not joking. You beat up Godzilla. He is like one of the end game bosses. One of.
Yeah, but are the Magic Knight Ray Earth characters in this one?
No.
Oh, that's disappointing.
A lot of Code Geass.
I know that name, but really, I don't know why.
Geass? Oh, I thought it was Geass. Okay. Oh, wait, you can play as Lelouch?
Lelouch, yeah.
Lelouch?
Yes. And you have a nightmare frame? Oh, that's cool. Yes.
Several.
Can you play as the redhead girl with her red robot?
Yes.
Nice. Oh, that sounds neat.
Yeah. It's,
can you play as
one of the later?
Of the Resurrection, I think.
Although they're making a new anime entry in that series, so.
Really.
Yeah, I'm only bringing it up because of the fact he said Magic Knight Ray Earth, and it is made by Clamp.
Stay clamping.
They clamping. All right.
Oh my god, it's on sale for $30 on PlayAsia.
PlayAsia.
So many winners.
Donkey Kong is the winner, but really, if you play any of these games, the winner is you.
A winner is you.
Pretty much every game we talked about is worth playing. These are all games that we would recommend trying out.
We complained about.
Right. Even the ones we complained about weren't bad. We just, you know.
Different opinion.
We're just right.
I mean, I think Clair Obscur was a really good game. I know it's not going to click with everybody, especially with the dodging, parrying, jumping in combat.
I'm very good at them. I just find them boring.
Right. I think we're ready to call it a night, aren't we?
Yeah, let's hit the trails. Hit the trails to Azure? I don't know.
Oh my god, this fucking ghost in Shadow Labyrinth. What the fuck?
Okay, no, we're done.
Yes, let's end this thing.
Yeah, no, I will sign us. I will play us out.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Mole Man in the Morning. Good Mole Man to you.